Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
We were all terribly shocked on Thursday evening when we found out that Prime Minister Brian Mulroney had passed away. And we've talked to a lot of people about the Prime Minister. And I'm really pleased to be able to speak with our next guest, who I've known for many years. John Tory is the former mayor of Toronto, of course, and was a volunteer advisor to Mr. Mulroney, including traveling to Washington to meet Ronald Reagan at the White House with the Prime Minister. John, good to have you with us. How are you?
Roy, I'm fine, and how are you, more importantly? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Doing well.
Excellent. Yeah. Glad to hear your voice. It's been a long time.
Yes, it has. Can you just bring us up to date on your relationship, the relationship that developed between you and the Prime Minister?
Well, it went back a long way because when he first ran for the leadership of the PC Party of Canada in 1976, and I was the president of the Young Conservatives at the time, and I don't know what made me look at this guy who was, you know, some people thought was presumptuous, that he was a lawyer from Montreal, very successful, but that he was going straight for the leadership, never been an MP, never run for public office. But the notion of Brian Mulroney and what he was about appealed to me, and it went from there. He ran, of course, a second time and got the leadership in 1983. And then in the mid-80s, when he was prime minister, I came to start to work very closely with him, always as a volunteer, culminating in us traveling together through the 1988 pre-treat election. So we traveled for 60 days, and you get to know somebody pretty well when you're doing that. I was his, you know, key strategic advisor on the tour with him. And we remained friends after that election. He called me. I would talk to him two or three times a week. And just as a volunteer, just, you know, batting things around. And he would call for advice, or he'd call to see if I could help him do something. And so he became a great mentor to me and a very close friend.
I was reading your post to X or Twitter, whatever you prefer. And you wrote that he was controversial and bold. And you added that he had the courage to take on the controversial because Canada needed that. And I always had the sense that he really cared. There's an underlying sense that this man really cares about this country. This is what drives him.
He did. And you look, nobody's perfect. And he'd be the first one to say he wasn't either. But I'll give you the best example I can give. I used to go with him as part of the role that I played with him to caucus meetings. And I had the privilege of actually being inside the caucus meetings. And I mean, I got to see his performances in there, which were legendary. I mean, he would go in each week with three clippings. And the two of the clippings would be something that the government had done that they were getting some praise for, and he'd remind them of that. The third one would always be some column somebody had written attacking him and the government. And he would then use that as an excuse to get into an unbelievable stem winder of a speech that would have them all giving him a standing ovation at the end. So whatever was going on, you know, they kind of overlooked it by the end of the caucus meeting. And that was a weekly thing that he never missed. But the story I was going to tell you is one of those caucus meetings, he went in and he said, we are going to do the GST. And it was something he believed in the interest of the company. And I think even liberals now would agree, as much as they said they'd do away with it. And as much as I know people listening still hate it, if it hadn't been done, the state of our finances today would be way worse than they are. We would not have made it through the 2008-2009, you know, financial crisis and all that. But he said to them right at the time, we're going to do this. And he said, I promise you, by the time we're done implementing the GST, we'll be at single digits in the polls. And I went with him probably a year and a half later to the same caucus. And I was reporting to them, because what I was doing often was presentations and what polling said, we were in single digits. So his word had come true, but it didn't stop him from moving ahead and just doing what he thought was necessary. And you remember, free trade was not universally popular.
Oh, no.
A lot of the things he did weren't, but he just did them because he believed that they were the right thing to do and that history would judge them accordingly.
Please, John, share something with us about his relationship with Ronald Reagan. You accompanied him to Washington and the White House.
You know, it's interesting because he told me, we talked many times about his very first meeting with Ronald Reagan when he was the opposition leader. And usually he was granted a meeting with a sitting president, and opposition leaders often aren't. And he said that in that meeting, Ronald Reagan had told him that he thought acid rain was caused by trees. And this is kind of stuff was written up. I don't think people thought it was true. But he persuaded him on the basis of just a friendship they developed where they would talk back and forth all the time. And he cultivated that relationship in ways that some people thought it was scandalous that he should stand on a stage and sing When Irish Eyes Are Smiling with Ronald Reagan. they didn't understand Brian Mulroney and they didn't understand relationships very well, because that kind of thing would have made it possible for him then to place many a phone call to Ronald Reagan or have a meeting with him and talk about things like acid rain. And he then kind of used that, and I meant used it in a positive way to, for example, he sort of planned it that we would take some of the Americans up to the north of Ontario, the mid-north, and look over the side of boats and see that the water was crystal clear, which it was. And it was crystal clear because it was dead. And they had to understand that the reason that water was so clear was because there was no life left in it because of pollution coming from the U.S. And he did all of that. Same with apartheid. He took Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan, no slouches, those two, and just worked his personal relationship with them to persuade them that apartheid was wrong and that the Canadian position, the Mulroney position, was right, which is that this had to be done away with and you had to impose tougher and tougher sanctions to get it done. But I've said, Roy, in the interviews I've been doing about him, that he used vision plus relationships and determination to get done the stuff he got done. He was just very determined to use the relationships, but they were an indispensable part of this. And he and Ronald Reagan, I mean, this was a man, Brian Mulroney, who eulogized two United States presidents at their funerals.
Yeah.
I mean, when has that ever happened before? And it just in the sense that they felt so strongly about how important he was to them that they asked him to speak at their funerals, both of them. Or their families did.
John, there was an incident in Brian Mulroney's public life that really matters to me, and because I got to know the other half of the story, and that was when Joyce Milgaard, David Milgaard's mother, stopped the Prime Minister in a public setting and said to him, "Look, my son has been imprisoned for many years unjustly for a murder he did not commit." And the Prime Minister could have just dropped that and walked away, and he didn't. He started to investigate, asked people to look into it. And over a period of years, David Milgaard was found to be innocent of murder. He'd spent 23 years of his life in prison, imprisoned as a teenager. And if Brian Mulroney had not paid attention to Joyce Milgaard, and I got to know Joyce and David quite well, David would have perhaps died in prison. And that spoke to me a lot about who Brian Mulroney was.
And what might speak to you even more is, Roy, is the fact that that happened over and over again with much smaller matters. I mean, the reason that the caucus members hung in with him when the party dropped to single digits in the polls is because he would take things that they cared about and problems they were having or people in their constituencies and solve those problems quietly using the influence of the Prime Minister to do it. I mean, it was just the way he was. And, you know, you've read the stories, as the listeners have, I'm sure, of how if you got sick yourself or some relative of yours got sick or some other problem, you know, beset your family, the first person to phone you know, when he was the Prime Minister of Canada would have been Brian Mulroney. He somehow knew about these things, and then he would not only phone, but say, "What can I do to help?" And this is just the way he was. He cared deeply about the country, and he cared deeply about people. And you know, when you're Prime Minister, you can avoid seeing Joyce Milgaard if you want to. Like, you know, you don't have to. But what Brian Mulroney was saying, when I traveled with him those 60 days during the election, we were confronted by all kinds of protests about free trade. He actually wanted to talk to the people who were having the protests, and we would give him the option of saying, "You could go in the back door of this hall or this hotel," and he'd say, "No, I want to go in the front door because I actually wouldn't mind having an encounter if it was possible with these people." It's just the way he was. He really actually did care, and it sounds like a cliche, but he did care about people, and he cared about the country deeply. I mean, the whole Meech-like thing, which you might have said, well, you know, why would you do that unless you really thought it was going to solve a problem and bring you know, Quebec into the Constitution, but he did it because he just believed it was his job to try to bring the country together, and that was unsuccessful, but
John,
he believed he did it for all the right reasons.
Thank you so much. It's a perfect way to end our weekend speaking about the former Prime Minister. Thanks so much. Great to talk to you.
Right, good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.